DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops at DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, with 2.2 billion euros spent, the National Children's Hospital doesn't have a single finished room out of 3,000. President Michael D. Higgins came under fire for his remarks about the Israeli embassy when visiting the UN. We have, of course, the continuing war in the Middle East and escalation in Lebanon. And we have Leo Varadkar speaking out as he's never spoken before, it would appear. He's also talking to Andrea Gilligan on Lunchtime Live in her kind of Ask Me Anything section. So if you have any questions for Leo, you can contact Lunchtime Live and he will answer them straight, as is his wont. Fionnán, what do you make? Leo, the newly outspoken...
As Mary Lou said, we're releasing the inner shinner. So there we go. Look, I think he seemed to suggest in his address in Notre Dame that it was pretty busy being Taoiseach. You're doing your day-to-day running of the country and you don't get enough time maybe to expand upon items that are on the longer agenda, and he seems to be getting these off his chest. Now, the accusation will be it's a little bit late when you're on your way out the door. He's certainly given food for thought for Fine Gael. I mean, I'm fully expecting that the announcement will be made next week that the 14 billion Apple money will be put into a United Ireland fund by Fine Gael, and that's the only place that any future windfalls will be going. So I'm not sure that it's quite in line with where his government and the current government was telling us that things were at. They were saying, you know, United Ireland is a objective down the line, but that the priority at the moment is getting the Northern Ireland institutions
working.
Okay,
well, we get clarification from Neil Richmond, who's here as Fine Gael TD Minister of State with responsibility not for Northern Ireland, but financial services, credit unions and insurance. So, Neil, what's your thinking on this?
Well, my thinking on the future unification of the country is actually quite clear. I've written quite a lot about this. Indeed, Ivana, yourself and I shared a stage at the Three Arena about this about 2 years ago. And indeed, Leo Varadkar also addressed that, where he laid out. So what Leo would have mentioned in a speech in Notre Dame is something I would have actually discussed with him many times, and which he's spoken about. He spoke about it in Belfast at the SSE Arena earlier this summer. He spoke about it when he was Taoiseach, and he's written about it when he was Taoiseach.
But clarification, aspiration or priority?
Oh, I think it's absolutely both. Like, we are Fine Gael, the United Ireland Party. I fully expect our manifesto will have quite clear detail about how we aspire towards a United Ireland. As I said, I've been very vocal.
Yeah, but you said aspire. You see, his thing is it shouldn't be an aspiration. It should be an objective declared in every party manifesto.
Well, again, the name of our party is Fine Gael, the United Ireland Party. That's a pretty clear declaration that we do want to achieve this. And if you think of the work that was done in terms of setting up the Shared Island Fund, in terms of getting the institutions back up and running, particularly by Simon Coveney and indeed by Micheál Martin, I think we've shown that our instincts are quite clear on this. And I certainly welcome Leo's comments on it, and I fully agree with them.
Ivana?
Well, my first thought, Pat, when I read about Leo Varadkar's comments on a range of issues was he's clearly enjoying life after politics. And I'm sure Taoiseach Simon Harris is delighted to get all this unsolicited good advice from the former Taoiseach. As it happens, I think he's right about unification. As Neil has said, I've participated in some of the Ireland's future events, not just here in Dublin, but also in Belfast more recently. And, you know, for Labour, we do believe in moving towards and planning for a unity referendum. Absolutely. But I'm not sure that Leo's comments are going to be seen as particularly helpful by the current government.
The timing
can
was curious.
But can I say this,
not?
Pat? His comments reported today in the Irish Times about inward migration, I think, are deeply inappropriate. For him to come out and say Ireland has had too much migration, it's not just a dog whistle. It's very disturbing rhetoric. We've seen
to parse it, though, it wasn't really too much. It was too much too fast, which is a different thing
but
entirely.
It neglects a couple of key points. One, that we've seen a brutal bombardment of Ukraine by Russia on the border of Europe, and so many Ukrainians who've come here fleeing war, seeking shelter, who've been welcomed by and large by Irish communities. You know, he neglects that. He neglects the fact that communities across the country are crying out for skilled labour in healthcare, in hospitals, in creches and schools. So to say we've had too much migration too fast, I think misses the point. We don't have the right infrastructure for that, but it's a new low in political rhetoric when we see the Taoiseach appearing to conflate inward migration and homelessness and, may I say, the biggest opposition party, Sinn Féin, taking a tilt against Ukrainians in the Dáil this week. Again, a real new low in political rhetoric from them too.
Over the past few months, we've all said that we want to have a factual discussion on our future migration policy. And we need to be able to do that in a space where we don't allow, indeed, the far right or the far left to pick apart. And let's actually discuss the facts. And I don't think my views on immigration be questioned. You talk about the need for skilled labour. I issued 31,000 work permits with joy. But two comments there, Ivana, that you made. First, in relation to the Taoiseach's comments, it is just a fact to say that the biggest reason for the last 3 months of people given for people entering homeless is that they're coming out of the direct provision system. That's just
No. If you look at the nationwide figures, that's not correct. The biggest reason.
But you can't just say it's not a factor. Well, and the Taoiseach has to be in a position to lay out all the facts.
Well, can I say this? The biggest factor is the government's failure to build enough homes. I mean, that's so evident.
But again, when you look into when it comes to migration, which again, I cannot be more stronger in my view on how good immigration is. I was very lucky to officiate a decision ceremony last week. When you look at, say, asylum seekers, before 2019, we had 3,000 to 5,000 asylum seekers coming a year, 3,000 to 5,000. We'll hit 22,000 this year. That is a lot very suddenly. And that's not down to Irish policies. That's down to the changing nature of Europe and the changing nature of migration practice. We have to be able to say that in saying this, yes, immigration is a good thing from a country, fundamentally a good thing. But we have to say what are the factors that can come in and how it is dealt with. Infrastructure. If you were able to sit here 5 years ago and predict that asylum seekers coming into Ireland would go up 5 times, or indeed that there'd be a war in Ukraine that would lead to in total 110,000 people coming here over the last number of years. Well done. We have infrastructure. We're responding in rapid real time.
Neil,
so to say this all should have been 5 years ago is a little bit misleading.
No, Neil,
but we have to have the ability to talk in facts without somehow everything you say is being labelled as dog whistling. I really don't think I can ever be accused of dog whistling.
I'm not accusing you of dog whistling.
You just accuse
the
Taoiseach of dog whistling.
No,
I think it's unfair and inappropriate.
What I'm saying is I think it's not helpful for political leaders like the Taoiseach, or indeed the former Taoiseach, or indeed the finance spokesperson from the main opposition party, to engage in language that appears to blame migrants for what, let me finish, for what is in fact a deficit in our infrastructure. We haven't built enough
Ivana, I just want to ask you this. It's very simple.
Accommodation shortfall, and that's why people are homeless.
Do the numbers. You expect, based on historical things, about 3,000 people seeking asylum in a given year. Then suddenly you have 22, and it is quite sudden. What are you supposed? Are you supposed to have planned, looked into your crystal ball, and says it's going to go from 3,000 to 22,000 in jig time?
But Pat, this is what governments do. I mean, and you know, in Labour we're constructive in opposition.
Okay, what are you saying then about Lebanon and Gaza, and what would you be planning in the Labour Party for provision for those? Because that's looking at the future.
Do you know what we would do, Pat? And yeah? I've said this, I've put this on the public record. We absolutely support the government's own commissioned expert plan, chaired by Catherine Day, which recommended the introduction of 6 large reception and integration centres through which those who are seeking refuge, seeking asylum here, can be accommodated.
I'm just wondering what the Labour Party is predicting in terms of asylum seeking over the next 5 years.
First of all, we've absolutely condemned the brutal Israeli bombardment of Gaza and now of Lebanon. And you know, the reality there is that most people there wish to stay in the region. They don't want to be to leave their homes. Yeah. They don't want to be.
But
bombarded.
What is the Labour Party predicting for migration into Ireland in the next 5 years? Because if you're going to plan for it, you must have an idea as to what
we
might
expect. Well, we've absolutely supported EU level planning on that. That's one thing. It has to be planned at EU level. But also, we do need to see government acting on their own recommendations. And Catherine Day's group looked at this, looked at predictions, Pat, and modelled how you would accommodate up to that level of people coming in seeking refuge in anticipation that there might be wars or conflicts. We've seen the Syria war long before this as well, and of course the Ukraine war. But, you know, the reality again, communities across Ireland have welcomed, have shown really strong integration initiatives for Ukrainians, for those who seek refuge. And the small number of cases where we haven't seen that, where we've seen hostility, are the exception.
You know? I suppose the reality is that immigration is going to be a general election issue. So, you know, while you can criticise kind of off-the-cuff comments, each party is going to have to get a handle on what exactly are they saying during the course of this campaign in terms of numbers, in terms of overall policies, in terms of accommodating people, because that's what people want to know. I know whenever I hear about the six large reception centres, nobody ever volunteers where are they going.
Well, actually, exactly. In our own constituency, both myself and Councillor Dermot Lacey have pointed out
DR Power Equipment is the industry leader in field and brush mowers. Their full line of machines are designed to clear acres of tough weeds, woody brush, and saplings up to 3 inches thick, hour after hour, year after year. Just one mow, and you'll agree nothing stops a DR. Visit drpower.com to learn more and shop the sale today.
Vacant properties that could be used.
Yeah.
And indeed there are there are quite a number of
which property is that?
Baggot Street Hospital.
Hang on a second. Every single program where we talk about this, Baggot Street Hospital is the solution that's offered.
Well,
and it could accommodate, at the time it was initially volunteered, it could accommodate 1 week of Ukrainians' arrivals. 1 week, that's all.
Well,
so it's tiny. What you're proposing is tiny.
Look, you know, there are quite a number of IPAS centres, in fact, around the Dublin Bay South constituency. That's very welcome. For Labour, we have published a detailed migration policy. I think the only opposition party to do so. We've modelled it based on the Catherine Day figures. We have to prepare and anticipate, as Fionnán says, that there will be inward migration. I'm the daughter of a family. My grandfather came here from the Czech Republic in the 1940s. And you know, was involved in establishing Waterford Glass, which went on to employ 3,000 people at its height. And there's a plaque to him now in Waterford City Centre. And I think any discussion about immigration, mm-hmm. and Neil is right, let's be fact-based, but we have to acknowledge the immense contribution to Irish society that has been made over many years by those who've come here. And indeed, the immense contribution Irish people have made to other countries, Australia, America, Britain,
absolutely,
through immigration.
Ivana, I think it's important. I couldn't agree with you more. We are a migrant people, inward and outward, but we have to be able to have a discussion about inward migration that isn't just about accommodation numbers. It has to be about the trends. It has to be looking at EU migration pact, and we have to be in a position where we can speak factually about this issue without it generating an emotive response. And this goes particularly to the far right who lace us with conspiracy theories. But equally, if we're be able to say that, well, X amount of people, 67 people entered homelessness last month from the direct provision system. We have to be able to state that simple fact without all of a sudden being portrayed as something that we're not. But the discussion has
to
go.
That was the point, I think. The majority nationally.
He said, but I think this is where we're losing ourselves in semantics, when the actual discussion has to be, of course, accommodation. I agree with you. I actually happened to have been on the board of the Baggot Street Hospital Trust at one stage. It would probably accommodate 260 to 269, which is smaller than any of the IPAS centres currently in my own constituency. It has to go beyond accommodation. Let's look at the trends through Europe. There is a pent-up demand post-COVID. There are serious conflicts on the near borders. We have to look at actually being using the full EU migration pact. That's why we backed it. That's why we put it to the Dáil vote. And that's why we want to make sure that we work with European countries who, if you look at their average asylum seeker numbers, were much higher than Ireland, but have reduced in the last couple of years.
Fionnán, when you talk about every party having to have a clear migration policy, I mean, when you look to the United States, where migration is big in the presidential election, Donald Trump is very clear. You know, throw out 25 million people, we'll get rid of them. Clear, that sort of stuff. Those messages are clear. When we're talking about, as Neil and Ivan have been doing, we're talking about subtleties, we're talking about complexities. And they don't play well to, the simplified voter.
Yeah, ultimately the criticism you could attribute to the Taoiseach in his comments is that he passed comments about migrants without context. He didn't contextualise and say, this is one set of figures, here is the wider set of figures. And that's been the accusation back against him, is that he was picking on one particular aspect of a problem. Your difficulty over the coming months is going to be, if this conversation doesn't take place in the mainstream, it's going to continue to take place on the margins. And therefore,
so
that's
you need
where your
responsible conversations and subtlety.
Because that's it. If it's on the public's minds, then they're going to want to hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you stand?
To be fair, I think that's right. And I think, to be fair, Minister Roderick O'Gorman did give a statement in response, and indeed spoke about it again in the Dáil when we talked about it, pointing out that those who are in the international protection system are not eligible for housing assistance payment, HAP in other words, and not eligible for housing supports under the Department of Housing. So I think that's helpful for people to know. I think, if I may say, it's emotive to start using language of the sort that we saw from other quarters. You know, I think this is an issue that needs to be discussed.
It is a bigger issue. To Michael D's adventures overseas and the Israeli embassy circulating, if that's the word, his letter to the Iranian president congratulating him. I mean, was he out of line?
Well, I think he's into almost the final year of his presidency, and I think it's going to be a rocky ride if he's going to be
expression.
Yeah, he'll be on the way out. In this case, you know, you can argue he got his facts wrong. It was the Iranians who were so delighted to get the letter in the first place that they were the ones who didn't leak it. They actually published it. They circulated it. It was then criticised by the Israeli side.
His attitude to the press asking the questions, you know, where did it come from?
And petulant.
You're a journalist, you find out.
Yeah.
I mean, that really ridiculous.
A little bit immature, you'd have to say, for someone who is a statesman on the international stage at the United Nations. But he has dug up a row here of his own making. And it was, I suppose, from the government's perspective, it was a tricky one for them to be dealing with this week. It wasn't really the topic they wanted to be on about while they were over at the United Nations when they wanted to be talking about
Ivana, the wider issue of Gaza. Labour Party candidate for president.
Originally.
Then he became sanitised,
Well, I've known Michael D. Higgins a long time when he was a Labour TD and indeed a wonderful Minister for the Arts, as many will remember. And I think everyone will agree he's been a superb president for us. He's represented us really well internationally. He's been such a strong and powerful voice on so many issues. I do think, however...
Is this a gaffe?
No, I don't think so. I think if you actually listen back to the recording, he was being pushed on an issue by members of the media. I think here, in fact, I would agree with the Taoiseach here, having taken issue with him. I thought that the Taoiseach, in his response, put it right when he said, look, you know, this was a standard letter issued from one head of state to another after the Iranian election. Nothing to see here. And the bigger issue here is the appalling level of civilian death in Lebanon and in Gaza, the really serious concerns about escalation. Anyone listening to interviews with civilians besieged in Gaza will be so, and in Lebanon this week, will be so horrified. And the focus of Irish diplomatic efforts should rightly be on trying to help bring about a ceasefire.
Was it a gaffe?
Not on a letter. So I don't think it was a gaffe, and I think it's been blown out.
No, I don't think it was a gaffe, but I think we really need to focus what actually took place in New York over the last number of days and what the Irish government's absolute number one priority was. The meeting between the Taoiseach with the Palestinian president, the first since we gave official recognition, the official invitation from President Joe Biden for the Taoiseach to visit him next month. All of this is to the end. And I think if you actually look at the address, the public address that the president gave, it was lockstep with the Taoiseach and the Taoiseach in absolute condemnation of the barbarity of what's occurring in Gaza, in southern Lebanon, and indeed in northern Israel.
But that speech would have been vetted by the government.
Of course it was.
Yeah, so therefore he wasn't going on a flyer on that one.
Well, I wouldn't use such a term with such an august statesman like Michael D. Higgins, who, even though he's not my man, I did vote for him for re-election. More than happy to say that. And I think,
thank you.
Let's really I campaigned for him as well, so that's another issue. But
and I think actually he did draw support from across. You're right. I mean, he drew support from across Ireland. He's
all right. I want to move on briefly to money, 2.0 billion and still counting, and the government no more, not a cent more will go to the hospital and BAM, and yet they wanted to open unfinished.
Yeah, the wider issue here, though, is this notion that cost overruns are a new thing and we have to have learnings and we're going to draw up new guidelines.
Again.
They're not a new thing. I mean, given your engineering background, you'll be familiar with the cost overruns on the motorway network during the Celtic Tiger era, the Lewis, a number of other infrastructure projects during that time period. When the crash happened, and everybody said, well, we need to be watching the millions and the billions, as Michael Noonan used to put it. That was one of the reasons why the Department of Public Expenditure was created, so that we would be more cautious with the expenditure of taxpayers' money. It's why the likes of Edgar Morgenroth from the ASRI did a specific report after the crash about levels of overruns on on infrastructure projects. It's why the Department of Public Expenditure at the time under Brendan Howland drew up a public spending code to specifically look at this issue.
So, yet
here we are a decade later, and Pascal Donoghue is pretending like, oh, this is a new thing. I didn't know that it was cost overruns.
But you see, the basic political mistake was putting the Children's Hospital in St. James. That was a fundamental mistake, which they will never own up to. They'll claim expertise was offered. We went through this with a fine-tooth comb when it was happening and warning them of the dangers, how unsuitable it was. They persisted, the politicians did, and now they're saying, well, we've started, so we'll finish.
Well, not all politicians. I actually supported the Coombe Hospital, the maternity hospital, that bid for that site, which I agree would have been better. But I think, you know, all
it
of
it... still would be in Dublin 8, congested, trying to get to this new children's hospital is going to be appalling for staff and for patients and the children and their parents and so on.
Well, look,
so
I mean,
the Coombe would not
I
be any
that,
better
that,
than...
That
and I supported
sailed.
Its location in Tallaght, but I think...
That's
ancient history.
Look,
the ship has sailed for both.
Yeah, but if you're doing any examination of what went wrong, you've got to start with that basic wrong decision.
But Pat, I think the problem now is that it is almost completed. I went and visited. I'd had a site visit last year. It looks to a layperson like it is almost completed. We're told it's 90% completed. So, and everyone just wants to see it open, because anyone who's ever visited Crumlin or Temple Street will know how much it's needed. You know, but the point here is government just stepping back as if they're bystanders. I questioned Minister Pascal Donoghue, Minister for Public Expenditure and Reform in the Dáil on Tuesday, and I asked him, why had he not taken any oversight or interest in this? He appears just to be commenting. He and the Health Minister have been largely invisible on this. They've hidden behind the hospital board, and it's time for them
sure,
to
wasn't
intervene.
That Michael McGrath's job? He was Minister. Pascal was Finance. Michael McGrath was Minister for Public
Expenditure. Political responsibility stops
pass the parcel. Pass the parcel. So, yeah. Neil, learnings?
Well, I think the one thing that wasn't said is that the vast majority of public infrastructure projects, not just in the last decade, but in the last year, have been delivered on time, under budget. I drove in the Macroom bypass at the weekend. We opened up the new extension to National Rehabilitation Hospital at Dunleary. Fiona Menton mentioned overruns on Lewis, but yet Lewis Intercity Connect was done under budget ahead of schedule. That is the vast majority. And when you see instances like the Children's Hospital is the extreme. Then the other two that have been talked about, the other three this week talked about in relation to the OPW, that's one where there is serious frustration, where there has to be clear look at the procedures that went into place, because something has gone awry there. With the Children's Hospital, the board is responding in terms of withholding
money.
Do you
know what people are saying? You couldn't trust them to build a bicycle shed.
No, but we've built bypasses and hospitals under time and on budget. And I think that's
but
far
I think
more important.
Responsibility does rest with the government and with the relevant minister. Mm. And what we haven't seen this week is any minister taking any responsibility on any of those projects.
It's the OPW's fault. All the OPW's fault. My thanks to Fionnán Sheehan, Ireland editor of the Irish Independent, Neil Richmond, Fine Gael TD, Minister of State with responsibility for financial services, credit unions and insurance, and Ivana Bacik, Labour Party leader. They've launched their alternative budget this morning.
I came from that just now.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
For almost 40 years, DR Power Equipment has been the go-to for homeowners who want professional level outdoor power equipment. Whether you're managing acres of overgrown fields or just want to have the best lawn on the block, DR Power has everything you need to conquer your piece of the outdoors. Visit drpower.com today to learn more and shop the sale.